idea of liberating ourselves from the shadows of the mind is a great one. And this premise today is gleaned from an in-depth study of the Mayan calendar by Carl Johan Kalaman, Ph.D. He's here to share the Paradigm Shift Trilogy, Volume 1, The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization, A Novel Theory of Our Origins. I'm Robin Clare. Stay tuned. This is Tributaries. Well, Carl, thank you so much for joining us today for Tributaries.
Oh, thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be with you.
Carl, the depth and breadth of your assessment of the Mayan calendar is truly astounding. How did a Swedish man come to the Mayan calendar, or perhaps how did the Mayan calendar come to a Swedish man, Carl Kalaman?
Yeah, right. Well, to begin with, I think it can sometimes be a great advantage not to have been immersed in the thinking that already exists about a phenomenon like that. And, you know, for instance, maybe it was 15 years ago, I spent a longer time down in Mexico and interacted with some of their archaeologists and journalists and so forth. And they had some kind of a preset idea that they knew everything about the Mayan calendar, while in fact they really had never explored what this could mean to the rest of the world and how vast a scope of phenomena that it covers. It is sometimes that kind of an advantage to come from the far north, in this case for me, and see this kind of a thing with fresh eyes, without having been dragged into the ideas that people already have about it. Now, that's the sort of just in general to say that it is not so surprising then that somebody comes like an outsider to the Maya and gives a new perspective to it, especially if we consider the as you pointed out, the scope of the Mayan calendar, how vast a body of knowledge it actually may encompass. But then there is my personal story as well, because not everyone who comes from Sweden will be take this kind of a deep interest in the Mayan calendar. And my basic answer is that this is a mission I was born with. And what is more of a question then is how was it triggered? After all, I was born and raised in the far north, and I was trained as a biologist, a scientist, used to test tubes and instruments and all that kind of a thing. But it did so happen that when I was 29 years old and I was in my graduate studies of toxicology and cancer research, I saw this note on a board in at the university in Stockholm where I was working, saying that, you know, you can go to Mexico and live in a Mexico family and learn Spanish. And for them, well, easy enough, right? And it just spoke to me. And in those days, it was way before internet and stuff like that. It was much more of a adventure and sort of taking a risk in a sense. You know, where will I land? There's no Google Maps to check out what it looked like or anything like that. But somehow I thought, okay, I need an adventure. I need something different from the test tubes, and so I off I went after spent about, maybe five weeks as a backpacker in Mexico and Guatemala, and that changed my life. It sort of made me realize that I had a purpose. And the contact with the natives, with the Maya, and sometimes with the, also of course visiting the ruins and climbing the pyramids and these things made a very deep impression on me. And since then, you might say that my mission became conscious and to me. And since then, it's always stayed with me, even though sometimes, you know, it's not always in those years that I've been working with the Mayan calendar, but it's always stayed with me. And I do think it's something I was originally born with, something I was supposed to do.
That in itself is such a great story and a confirmation of follow your heart. If you have an intuition, a little message about doing something, do it, but definitely don't be attached if things change up a little bit.
Yeah, right. No, and usually we will. I believe that if we don't follow those paths that have been laid out for us, we will regret it, and we will just create trouble for ourselves. Even though we will have to adjust something, we can't just immediately go into always our purposes or our missions, but we should always keep them with us and never forget them and make sure we. Yeah.
Well, your book is titled The Global Mind, or this book, I should say, is titled The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. It's a Paradigm Shift Trilogy, Volume 1. And if we're going to be discussing evolution of mind creating civilization, shall we have you define civilization to start?
Oh, okay. Yes, that's a word that is used very differently by different people, and so I think it's important to have a precise definition. And the easiest way of defining it precisely is based on what the word originally comes from. It comes from Latin. Civitas, which means city. So civilization will then be a culture that is organized around cities. I think it's always, you know, we always, if we talk about high civilizations, I think we always want them to also have some system of writing. That is such an important aspect of civilization that is, you know, I think that's a criterion we should put on it. But basically, it's a city world. And so there's a lot of cultures out there that have existed throughout the history of humanity that you might not talk about as civilizations. Doesn't make them any less valuable or meaningful or so. It just makes them not to be civilizations.
Yes, and you portend that the most meaningful inroad into the mind is evolution, and you talk about shifts. Maybe we can move on into describing these shift points and what maybe constitutes a shift point.
Yeah, so that will bring us into explaining a little bit about what the Mayan calendar is. Because when we talk about other calendars, we usually don't associate them with shifts. You know, our own, of course, you can say New Year's Day in our own Gregorian Christian calendar. It's a starting point, so to speak, but it's not really necessarily a shift. And also, if you take the kind of astrology that's used in the Western world, it doesn't really have shifts either. It's more like these are cycles of planets and so forth, and they really have no shifts, the cycles just go on. But the Mayan calendar has shifts, and that really is a distinguishing feature of it. And it comes to its very nature that it is not based on astronomical cycles. I would say it's the only calendar of our planet that is not based on astronomical cycles, and that's what makes it so special and so interesting. And at first sight, when you familiarize yourself with the Mayan calendar, you will learn about these daily energies is called the Tzolk'in, the count of days. And so, for instance, today we are on the energy of what's called Four Dog. So this particular day, now that we are talking, it somehow captures the essence of dog. Or you might say the symbol of dog is a way of capturing the essence of the energy of this particular day. So the Mayan calendar then is a sequence of spiritual energies or archetypes that describes the essence of the times.
So what does that mean for our interview today?
Yeah, right. What does that
mean? Dog,
well,
the dog energy.
Well, a person who is born in the day sign of dog is usually sort of a warm-hearted, friendly person, loyal. Usually loyalty is considered a typical characteristic of dogs. The Mayan day keepers will warn that people that are born in the dog sign, they are inclined to sexual promiscuity, I've heard. But that's for those that are born in this day. Me, I'm a jaguar. That's my particular day sign of birth. And there's a lot of lore, you might say, a lot of accumulated knowledge about what it means to be born in one of these particular days. But to come back to where we started, so every time period is characterized by some kind of spiritual quality. Like today, it's characterized by or symbolized by the dog. But then tomorrow, this will shift, and it will be the day of the monkey. And when there is, you know, what's typical of the Mayan calendar is that the transition from dog to monkey is not a gradual one. It's an immediate shift at a certain time point. And that's what's typical also when we look at the longer eras that the Mayan calendar describes. They are differentiated by shifts, and one energy is immediately replaced by another shift. And as that shift takes place, the minds of people become different. And as the minds of people become different, they start to see reality in a new way, because the mind determines how we look upon reality. And as they start to see reality in a different way, they start to create a different kind of external reality themselves. So, for instance, all the technology that has come out of these 5,000 years of human civilization, it really comes out of a shifted mind, a new kind of a mind that sees reality in a new way, and that in turn allows us to create a kind of technology that has been at the root of much of our civilization.
Is it important, do you think, right now to just go in for a minute about why was the Mayan calendar written? Who was it written for? And who is responsible for it? What was the original function of the Mayan calendar?
Yeah, I think so. I think that's meaningful. It's a calendar system, really, because there's a number of intermingled calendars that form a whole. And some of the calendars in this system are billions of years. Others are daily, as we just talked about. And then there is a number of time periods of intermediate lengths. And why was it developed? What we know about the ancient Mayan people, which rose to become a real civilization essentially around the time of Christ, 2,000 years ago. That's when they started to build pyramids in the jungles, and that's when they developed this particular calendar system. And it's usually looked upon that the calendar is a religious phenomenon, and they always would look upon the calendar as sacred. And that tells us something. It tells us that it has some kind of a metaphysical origin, some kind of a divine origin, that these day signs that gave the spiritual qualities to the particular time periods, they were considered as divine. Now, that already gives their calendar a somewhat different character from what we how we use our current calendar. For instance, you know, if a new there would be a new divinity that ruled the time period, then they would worship that particular divinity in order to contact the particular essence of the time that they were living in. And so it's a divine calendar. And they tracked, especially what's called the long count. This is the calendar of the 5,100 years of human civilization. They tracked this backwards to the beginning about 5,000 years ago. And it was very much used to contact the source of this divine calendar, you might say. And it was also very much used by their kings, their shamans, their ruling elite, in a sense, to legitimize their own power. And because these kings and these dynasties that ruled these Mayan cities down in the jungles of today's Mexico and Guatemala, they always wanted to show that they had an origin in the beginning of this particular wave, this particular calendar that's 5,000 years old. So they developed a whole system of determining when are they going to become kings or queens. When were they going to go through certain personal steps of initiation and so forth? They always determined this based on their calendar. And the reason they did that was that this calendar went back to some kind of a significant, divinely created event 5,100 years ago that had been the source of human civilization.
Now, Carl, do you think that it really fed into that more unconscious desire or need or recognition, perhaps, of our connection to source or to that divine? It wasn't so much giving a reason why someone would be a king, so to speak, but it just moved into that depth of the invisible world that we are all connected to.
Yes, absolutely. So it also became the tasks of these people to make these connections to the invisible world that you're mentioning, because they needed that, because that would tell them something about what the qualities of the coming era would be. That's sort of the basis for their particular prophecy, their way of living prophetically according to this time plan that the Mayan calendar describes.
Well, it's important, I think, since we haven't come right out and said it yet, you know, of course, 2012 was the big year, I believe, or maybe it was the end of 2011 for the Mayan calendar. And with your study, you really dive into the fact that it's not talking about the physical day.
Yeah.
It's more than just that physical shift that's going on.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, we should consider that many of these time periods that create a certain mentality on the part of the human beings, they are long time periods. You know, the Baktun, which is the main time period of the long count that has created human civilization. This Baktun is about 400 years. So when there is a shift which happened a few years ago, that doesn't mean that everything happens on that particular shifting point. It just means that that's a new, it begins something that will be going on for maybe 400 years. So I know, you know, we a lot of people wanted things to happen on a particular day and so forth, but in reality that's not how the Mayan calendar works. It is much longer time periods involved, and that the fact that nothing happened on especially December 21, 2012, which I don't think is the real correct shift point, that doesn't invalidate by any means the Mayan calendar. It just invalidated a lot of expectations people would have of a very quick shift that didn't happen, and it really should not happen if you have gone a little bit more deeply into the Mayan calendar, because these time periods that create the human mind, they are much, much longer.
Right. It's fascinating how you do discuss in your book these shifts. It's, you know, you talk about the Egyptian pyramids, for instance, and it's how all of a sudden at the dawning of an age, people are actually building things like this. And the connection you make discussing about the universal eightfold partitioning and how it created a linear and 3D grid for people to orient themselves. And from there, the changes and the things that were done were just fantastic, really.
Yeah, it all comes, you know, when you start to look at history in the light of the Mayan calendar and the shift points, there's a lot of things that come into place. It just hasn't been our predominating way of looking at history. But once you use it, once you use these shift points and match the mental shifts, then you will see that things start to make sense. But it comes down to the fact, I think, that when there is a shift and a new spiritual energy or a new mind comes in, from the divine, I would say, and that's certainly the Mayan view of looking at it. They would also say that it comes from the divine. What happens is that we are inclined to follow that kind of divine guidance that is given to us through this change in spiritual qualities of the universe. We're always happy when we can follow divine guidance, because that's when we feel life is meaningful. We're just taking part. So the way I look upon, for instance, the early Egyptian pyramids, why were they built? Well, because there was a shift in the mind and a shift in a divinely created mind. When that happens, people will go to great lengths, even to the lengths of creating such huge constructions as the Egyptian pyramids, because you feel it's meaningful. You feel you're part of the process of a divine time plan, and then you want to contribute to that. That's how I think of everything working. And I think in general, people don't really realize to the extent that they too, just everyone, is guided by these kind of divine shifts. They're just not aware of it. They come to look upon our reality and take it for given, when in fact it's created on a very, very large scale, and all of us are to some extent guided by this bigger plan. And I wish people would know more about that and see themselves as contributors to a divine plan more than they actually do today.
Yes, I think that's a very good point. And the Mayan calendar is like a vehicle for your investigation, and you broaden it so much that you recognize that many early systems, whether it was in Mexico or whether it was in India or China or Europe, anywhere, you noticed how there was a sacred geometry, for instance, and you do call it the eightfold partitioning, and it is also represented in the actual physical brain. The ramifications of that, you talk about the art, the pre and post eightfold partitioning in art. And maybe you could share a little bit about that.
All of this theory, you might say, comes back to the explanation that the Maya themselves were given to why they had developed a long count calendar that started 5,130 years before our current time, basically 3,115 BC is the starting point of their long count. And they actually provided an explanation to this. They said that what they called the first father, you know, what we probably would just refer to as the divine or so, he then erected the world tree.
More next week with Carl Johan Kallman and The Global Mind and the Rise of Civilization. For any guest information, to listen to archives, share resources, and sign up for weekly programming, visit tributariesradio.wordpress.com on iTunes Podcasting, Tributaries Radio. I'm Robin Clare. Thanks for staying tuned.